All right, Kyle, you're hosting. You want to kick it off?
Welcome to Hootenanny. I don't know.
Yeah, I know, but like, sincere. Let's coach Kyle on being sincere. So do it, but like, actually,
I've been trying to do it for like 15 years, Ben, and it still hasn't happened.
Just try. Give me a sincere welcome to this podcast.
This is your favorite show. You've been waiting your whole career to host something like this.
What is it? What is the official name? What should I call it? The Hootenanny? Welcome to the Hootenanny?
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Hootenanny.
No, false. Min-Max. I'm reading acting. I'm reading acting. This doesn't feel right.
Oh, I bought in. Favorite. I was ready to listen.
Okay, sorry. Okay, you know what? That was on me, Kyle. Yeah. That was on me for cutting
you
off.
Everybody else. About actors.
Everybody
God
else was hitting.
Someone not, yeah. You know, be a true person once in a while.
Oh God. All right, that's my bad. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Hootenanny. Thank you to Jawar Hello for unlocking this bonus podcast.
This feels like acting.
Yeah.
He's reading off a screen.
Shut up.
Clearly he doesn't know what he's talking about because he wrote it down first. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm seeing here Jawar Hello supported us on Patreon at the highest tier and unlocked this bonus content. So thank you, Jawar Hello. We say hello to you. I'm Ben Hansen. I'm joined by Haley McLean on this Hootenanny.
Howdy.
Joined by Jacob Geller.
Yeehaw.
Joined by Janet Garcia.
Stream Cowboy Carter.
Joined by Jeffem.
Everybody used every cowboy. I haven't finished Red Dead. I guess that's my cowboy.
Nice. Hell yeah. Uh-huh. Howdy and Yeehaw are the only two cowboys.
That's pretty much it.
A lot of cowboys back in the day, they were just stumped. Sometimes they just awkwardly looked at their feet. It's like, I don't want to be redundant here.
Oh, shucks.
Joined by a glitchy Leo Vader.
Saloon-tations.
Let's see.
Oh, your right arm, but it's on Why? The left.
It's like a disaster.
This is kind of gross.
That looks like you have a friend beside you who's watching.
And they're super excited about it. Sarah Pazurski's here.
Rootinest, tootinest cowboy.
Yeah! And Kyle Hilliard.
I've seen your name in our ledger. Boy.
Yeah, he said ledger. Okay. He said it. And
he's ledger. Acting. It's acting.
He's ledger for this cowboy. And joined by, what is this, a 30-year-old Kelsey Lewin.
I quit horsing around, everyone.
Yeah! She's still got it. Let's see. Should we talk about Kelsey's birthday? Should we talk about something else? How are we feeling as a group?
That's more, like, by the time anyone's listening to this, my birthday is done and over. Yeah. And also, it's Canada Day.
They still need a plan for the next one.
Thank you,
yeah,
Kelsey.
You just stick to
and
a one-day birthday?
And her identity's been stolen because they know her birthday and age now.
Oh, man.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
you know those two things. It's
another
over.
Piece of the puzzle, yeah.
What's
yeah.
your mom's maiden name in the house you grew up on and your first pet? Kelsey?
Hey, I got a question that's more delicate than Haley's. Who here is still under 30?
Me.
I'm 29.
Really? Wow.
Really?
Yeah. Really? You?
I know. I seem 45.
The oldest soul amongst all
weird?
Of us.
I wouldn't have said that, but.
That's weird. Okay, that's good. Because who was it? We were trying to go through everybody's ages. Who was I talking to? We were trying to guess everybody's ages not too long ago.
Probably me in the car.
Yeah, that was you in the car. Yeah. Yes, thank you. It's somebody
yeah.
fast.
What yeah.
I was
guess.
Also Does having this conversation
Kyle
recently?
Is, and you're like, I don't really know him that well.
It's tough. What was this, Kelsey? You're trying to figure it out too?
Yeah, I was also having this conversation recently with my partner because he is maybe coming to North Carolina too. And I was like, I know I'm among the youngest, but I don't know how many. I was pretty sure Jacob was younger than me. And I know Janet, you're like just a few months older than me.
Yeah.
And I was like, Sarah's probably right in that same range, either a yeah. couple months older or a couple months younger. And then I had no idea pretty much anyone else.
Yeah, it is tough to track down. Do you all feel panicked when you're 29 turning 30? Is it a tumultuous time since so many of you are hitting it right now?
I have a philosophy on this, and I think caring about when you turn a decade is dumb because you could be turning 2011. Like, we made up those numbers, so who cares? Mm. Everyone around me was like, the big 30. Oh, you're gonna die soon. I was like, it's so weird. How everyone cares, but it's the next decade. It pisses me off, honestly.
My you could turn 30-ness. Like, one thing that I found exciting that I've kind of told people if they feel maybe, like, less excited by it is it's the first decade where you're, like, fully an adult.
Yeah.
At least if you have a more traditional life, like, I was still an undergrad, like, you know, I couldn't drink. I didn't have my, like, name attached to a utility bill. Like, I just was, you know, going into adulthood, but I wasn't an adult when I was, like, 20, 21. And even, like, in your early 20s, it's, like, I feel like it's kind of a messy time. So it's, like, oh, I'm fully an adult now. I know a lot more. I have a lot more together. And I think that's really exciting. Like, I find that to be a really cool time. So
yeah,
I, like being 30. I think it's, like, it feels like like the hype I get when it's like a new year and like that fresh start feeling, but like for a decade of time to me.
Yeah. The whole,
also, I still don't know anything, even though I'm 30 now.
I'm not buying it. I'm sorry.
I'm embarrassed to say, I feel like 29 is an embarrassing age because I want to say like, oh, it was like me and a bunch of 30 somethings, because that's what I feel like I feel way more in my 30s than in my 20s
right
now. And so it's weird to be like, technically I am 29. So whatever.
I've been saying I'm 30 for a while.
Well. Yeah, me too.
That's interesting.
Wait, what is Taylor Tomlinson's joke?
It's something like, I forgot how she does it, but she talks about like how embarrassing it is to be 29 and that it feels like you're at the party waiting for your Uber and it's just like awkward. Like, she had some other comparisons too that were amusing about that. Like, I'm still here. Like, you're still here. It's like, yeah, like I'm waiting to get picked up, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Everyone else has turned 30. We're just waiting.
I definitely felt like it was my last year of being young and I was like savoring it. And then when I turn 30, I'm suddenly old.
Yeah, it turns out like that number, you're right, Haley, it doesn't mean much, like a quick tangent. I remember.
No, it means you're young or you're old.
Oh, is that right? But it's just like what stage you're at in your life. It's like everyone thinks, oh, as I get older, I have more responsibilities and less free time. It's like, no, it just depends like what you're doing with your life. And like,
but then
do you
the
have
walls
a partner? Do you have a kid?
It's like, what are you doing? You know,
right.
For some people.
It certainly is that. And then there's no way out. Like Jeffem, who's Rye 53.
I would love to be 30 again, my God.
What would you do, Jeff? You woke up tomorrow, you're 30 again. Walk us through your day,
man. What am I supposed to be doing right now? It's probably not
sleep.
This, right?
I would just sleep all day. All day and night.
Okay, I'm going to go take naps back. And I'll be like, this one's for Jeff.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Sarah, did we gloss over? Did you say that you have just been telling people you're 30 already?
Yeah, because people are like, how old are you? But then when I feel like I'm saying 29, it feels like I'm defensive about being 29.
Yeah.
So sometimes I'll just say 30 just to you know, like test the waters, you know, right? Like slowly submerge myself in being 30.
What if you
were basically 30? I do the same thing.
Yeah.
But what if like you just say it and when it comes out of your mouth, you realize you hate it so much? You know, it's like when you're testing the waters, but you realize the water is hot lava.
It is so sad going from I'm in my late 20s. Really late 20s to going into like I'm in my 30s.
Hello, like I'm in my
early 30s.
Goodbye.
The Jeff, dirty 30.
Jeff, are you okay saying your age on this very podcast here and now?
If I can remember it.
Oh.
No, I mean it. I think I'm 42 or I'm
We can do the
42.
Math. When were you born?
Well,
and what street did you grow up on?
Yeah, see, I'm not falling for this. Kelsey's just trying to switch it
if
to someone else
If you had to make
now.
A four-digit pin, what digit did you get? Yeah.
Jeff, yeah, you sure. Give 37.
Thank you.
You're giving 37. Yeah.
Well, that's great, because I'll tell you, when I turned 41, I think, my sister-in-law texted me, and she said, just so you know, you don't look a day over 50. Because for a moment in her mind, she thought I was turning 50.
Oh,
I was like, what
no.
the? That's, you were off by a decade and you made me feel super old when ironically you were trying to make me feel younger. But
yuck.
Yeah, hopefully I'm not passing for 50.
Well, if you just hold where you're at, you got this like 9 years from now.
That is true.
So. I feel like especially with the white headset on, it makes you... It probably erases like 5 years. It's like, oh, I wouldn't
gonna
see
wear
a 50-year-old
in just,
this context.
I'll just pull this out and then I'll... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't believe that there are 50-year-olds who are wearing big headsets. So by wearing that, I'm like, yeah, obviously.
Yeah.
Must
be you should bigger. Get some like Beats by Dre and some shutter shades.
Yeah.
nothing says younger. I'm just going to turn into that Steve Buscemi... Shades. image.
They're the fellow kids, yeah.
Kyle, what's been the best decade of your life?
The best decade of my life?
Hot shot.
Oh, man, I don't know. This decade was pretty rough. So I guess the one previously.
It's just trash.
Okay, so but your teens, your 20s, your 30s.
Pandemic, layoffs, all that stuff happened within the last 10
personally,
years.
Personally,
you know?
Political
turmoil, yeah. You know.
You can't factor in war when you're trying to talk about what it's like to be a certain age, you know? But teens, 20s, 30s.
You're in the war.
And then, none of us got to have drafted or anything into wars. It's just what was up when you were in your 20s?
Well, unfortunately, that game, Expedition 33, is real. So when we all hit 33, you're all going to be drafted into Xbox's great console war. So I hope you're ready for that.
It would be a toss-up between 10s and 20s, I think. Because, 10s was fun because I was, young and I was, playing in a band. And that was a lot of fun. I have a lot of good memories of that. And then... And through my 20s into 30s, that's when I got married and had my kid and started moved to Minnesota and started my Game Informer job. That was a lot of good stuff going on then too. So it'd be a toss up between those two. It would be tough to say which one would be better because they're good for different reasons, I think, you know?
Are you ever freaked out when you hear people interviews with people like Mel Brooks or those interviews where it's this person's on their freaking deathbed? And they're trying to give their best life advice and talk about what it's like to be old. And they just sound like us. I'm just like, it's weird. I still feel like a teenager. It's weird that I'm still in this body. I'm freaked out when old people do not have the wisdom that I desperately want them to have.
This past Thanksgiving, I was like, I've got a question to ask my two living grandmas. And I asked both of them. And the question was, does life feel long or short?
Yeah, good.
And they both were immediately short, short.
That's scary. Please lie to me, Grandma.
I know.
I asked my grandma a similar question. I guess not a similar question, but something to do with age. When I was younger, I was like, hey, Grandma, she's probably 65 or something at this point. I was like, when do you start feeling like a grown-up? She's like, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
Grandma answer.
Love grandma stuff
that. You guys know the fake it till you... pass away, that's what they always
say. Make it till you're suddenly dead.
I'm really just killing time here on the podcast, if I'm being honest.
I mean, what's your answer to that, Leo? Does life feel long or short?
I asked it because life feels so short now, and I was worried about it ending. I was kind of fixated on that, and I was like, maybe by the time I'm old, it will feel different. I'll feel ready, and maybe I still will. But
I was just thinking the other day, and maybe I'm broken, and I'm in a good place... space mentally, I swear, but I was just thinking the day of God, I've been alive a long time. I like life. I like living, but it's like everybody complaining about life being short. It's like, I guess, but I'm just looking back. I've woken up so many times. It's still going.
You get up and you're again?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm excited.
It feels having a child thing or something.
Yeah, were you changing diapers when you were thinking about that?
I guess so. Don't you all feel like, good Lord, this has been a lot of time.
It's a lot of experiences in there.
Yes.
No.
I think from age 5 to 10 felt 10 lifetimes, and everything else feels 2 years.
I was 14 yesterday, I swear.
I got bad news. You might have been. But it's just so weird that I feel like I've forgotten so much, and I guess that's all you can do for a sign of I've been living a long time is somebody will bring something up and it's like, I barely remember having emotions about that. Or I barely remember that happening. I'll see a photo and it's like, I don't know what this is or why. And it's like, I guess that's a sign of a good life. But on the old person front, Leo, I think the best you can do when you get old, I don't know, I really appreciated that my grandpa, when he was really up there in his mid-90s and stuff, he just did a lot of I've had a really good life. And it was a really sweet note, I think you owe it to the younger people just to kind of be like, I'm content just for that illusion, even of when you get as old as I am, you'll also feel like, yeah, that's the finish line, which I don't think any of us will be we'll be scrambling, trying to stay in the race, but just to give that illusion, I think is important to the younger generations.
I'm going to be screaming on my deathbed.
Help! Why is anybody doing anything about this? Look at this wrinkle. Come on.
You guys feel about when you're close to death and the games that are coming out kind of soon. And you're like, damn it. I won't be able to play that. I think about that a lot.
Gamer problems.
I think about just am I going to start sucking at games at some point?
Oh, no.
Because I'm oh, man, when I retire, it's fucking Dark Souls 7 city. Hopefully Dark Souls like 12. I don't know how many. But like, you know, it's like, will there be some point where the games that I want to enjoy, I am just like physically or mentally incapable of playing anymore? Because that would be very sad for me.
I'm totally thinking about being in the old folks home, ripping the bong and just playing my backlog. And I'm like, maybe it should be all turn-based games and stuff that we just
only save.
Right. Turn-based deck builders. Welcome my world.
They're going to make old people controllers because all the developers will be old too. So they'll want to play stuff. So they'll make stuff.
Sad dad games. We're going to just have sad old people games about dying.
Yeah. Sad granddad games. Oh, that's sweet. And you've never seen Jeffem's house. But it actually is an old folks home. I should have revealed it a long time ago.
Well, it's like how people say that like disability is just a matter of time, and that's why like accessibility is like so important, because like it really does touch everybody's lives. I mean, it's like that's why those things matter, and I think it's so easy to like, you know, relegate that to like maybe a certain time, or like maybe it doesn't get to you, and maybe it doesn't, but like that's why those things are so like good to have, because then you can, you know, it's like, I'm bad at this game just because I've never been good at it and not because I physically can't play it.
Yeah, I thought it was sweet. I read an interview with Mark Cerny, the legendary producer and designer of the PS4 and PS5 and all that stuff. Mr. Knack himself. But he was talking about, I mean, I think he's 60s, I suppose. Sorry, Mark, if you're in your 50s, I dearly apologize.
He doesn't look a day over
60.
He really doesn't. He's one of the few people in the industry, by the way. I think him and Cliffy B were the two people who were like getting ready for an interview, and he's like, I'm going to go to the bathroom to freshen up, and like really cared about their hair and stuff like that. And it's like, I think that's interesting when developers are like, you know what? I'm going to care about my physical appearance right before this interview, which most people are like, yeah, whatever, let her rip.
You said this is Mark Cerny?
Mark Cerny did, yeah.
59.
By the way, shout out to Cliffy B's 5 minutes of stand-up he posted on social media.
Oh, well, that's how we're going to be ending this episode, is
live reaction?
Live reaction to Cliffy B's stand-up.
Love that.
We probably shouldn't, genuinely. It's very inappropriate.
Really? Oh, like, to the point that we absolutely should not?
I couldn't imagine.
It's not great.
Well, of course. We're going to be checking out. Anyways, but Mark's starting this interview. He's like, you know, I'm getting old. My reflexes suck. But, like, it's still important to me to be a gamer and to keep my street cred. So his big challenge was he wanted to platinum Neon White. And he's like, I'm really proud in my old age. I was able to do that still as like proof that I still got it. So if Mark Cerny can platinum Neon White, Jacob, you can beat Elden Ring on your deathbed, I swear.
For you.
I'm a little sad about the concept of that being important in old age.
That's exactly
still
it.
Being a capital G gamer.
Yes. Yes. That's the stuff that freaks you out. It's like, oh, am I going to have the exact same interests and cares? Like, I hope I would change to the point that, you know, just looking at a beautiful sunset is going to be more important than platinuming Neon White.
I need a little ding to go off in the corner of my eyes if something happened.
To be honest, I also feel that way now, though. It's like, I feel like already games are like, I'm like, mm-hmm. I could have looked at a sunset.
Yeah, but what if there was like an achievement score for every sunset you looked at?
Battle Pass?
Yeah.
You could just log it on Overdrive.
My sunset app.
I'm sorry, Kelsey, what did you just say to us?
Sunset Overdrive.
Sunset Overdrive.
She still got it in her 30s, everybody.
Yeah.
Older, wiser.
Yeah. Kyle, you're 38? 39?
Yeah, like Jeffem, I don't really know.
Shut up. Yes, you do.
That's a question for my wife.
Okay. I want all of you to slap me if I ever start saying that I have no idea how old I am.
Okay.
It's something I don't like thinking about, so I just don't.
I guess, but at some point it comes up, doesn't it?
Well, I get forgetting for like a second. Like, wait, what? How? Yeah. Oh, yeah. But like, that should take 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's wait till you have another decade behind
you. The truth is, you don't want to tell us. And that is valid.
Don't want to do the math.
Yeah. I think it's 38. I'm pretty sure it's 38. But like, I also.
I'm pretty sure
like,
you don't want to tell us your age, which is okay.
I was like, I've never been really like a drinker or excited about drinking. So like, I wasn't really looking forward to turning 21. Like, it wasn't a big milestone for me.
Right.
So I stopped caring about my age really when I was like 19 or 20. I really genuinely stopped ever thinking about it.
But there's still the sense
what
of
what about 35 when you can run for president?
Most importantly.
I mean, well, that's the thing. You guys were talking about turning 30, and I have no specific memories of like those milestone ages. Because, like, I really was, like, I know it's my birthday, but I really do not think about the number. I really don't.
For some reason, I thought the age for running for president was 98.
Okay, really just feel that way.
Hey, whoa, I don't want to get political here. Come on, man. Cool it.
I definitely see Kyle's point of, like, and Haley's point about not caring about it. Like, not thinking about it so you don't have it instantly to summon. I have my age instantly to summon because I think about it a lot and it means more to me than I want it to. You know, I definitely see the value in it not being part of your day-to-day thoughts.
Yeah. Kyle, you kind of freak me out. I have no memory of turning 30. I'm trying to scroll through my photos. Would it would have been, if I'm 37, is that 2016 I would have turned 30? Is my math? No.
That's when Leo and I were interns.
Is that right?
Yes, and I went to your 30th birthday party after.
Really?
What was happening? Because he doesn't remember.
Oh, it looks like we had a private karaoke room, is what Google Photos are telling me. And there's no
Leo.
Oh,
that's fun.
It was super fun. I'm looking at the photos right now. That actually looks great. I'm glad I had a good time. But
you're like, that actually looks really fun. Wish I could remember it.
Yeah. But Leo, what was it? I had people at my house?
Yeah. I was only there for a couple hours or something, but you were doing karaoke in the back room too, and that.
And it was specifically, you remember being my 30th?
Yeah. I remember specifically getting the text of you inviting me. I remember that being like a moment for me.
Oh, that's
wow.
So
all the other Game of Thrones interns feeling terrible right now. I didn't get invited to Ben's birthday party.
I mean, it is, maybe it's weird, but I am proud of every batch of interns except for the first I invited over to my place to play board games. But I didn't get the first.
The first were really annoying.
Yeah, they were miserable.
True.
Sorry, Allie Rapp. I wonder how she's doing these days. Remember that whole saga?
Wait, the same Allie? Is that the one who with the weird Nintendo?
The weird Nintendo stuff. I think about it a lot. Oh. Of like, I should try and reach out to see if she'd want to talk about it. All these years later, but
yeah, I hope she's doing well. I hope that she doesn't want to talk about it and is just like. Left it behind.
Yeah, so if you recall, it was a weird... Should we talk about Allie Rapp or talk about anything else? How's everybody feeling?
Or Cliffy Book. I'm Googling this right now.
I'm kind of nosy, so like, yeah. You just give the Cliff Notes
The Cliff Notes for Allie Rapp, as I recall it, was she was hired at Nintendo. First of all, yeah, she's a Game Informer intern. She was very nice, very sweet, very outgoing. And she was hired at Nintendo. Then she was fired by Nintendo for having a second job. And a lot of people were up in arms about the whole thing, about like, you were fired for moonlighting at Nintendo. And so a lot of people were on the defense and like attacking Nintendo, but like, what is wrong with you maniacs? Grow the F up.
And then you're missing like the big part where it was part of the whole Gamergate thing.
Correct.
Remember that?
Yeah.
This happened right on the heels of Gamergate. And it basically came out that she was like, this is pre-OnlyFans, but she kind of had like an OnlyFans thing going on. And then people, not Nintendo, Nintendo didn't know about it, but fans found it. And they basically brigaded for her to get fired.
Okay.
They brigaded Nintendo and they were basically like, and it was because they got mad about like somebody referencing memes in localization.
Right.
It all started with, so it was like a ball rolling down a hill and she was the victim.
Yes. Yes. And then there was the weird revelation of like when Beyond the Word, it seemed like her second job was fully being an escort. And then at that point, a lot of people were like, okay, you know what? I understand why Nintendo might not want to have somebody in that
Xbox
arena.
Doesn't exist. Modern games don't exist. Nintendo mindset.
Right. So it was just, it was a murky, just like, weird spot for everybody. But you're right, Sarah. That was the huge thrust of it, was the internet just like demanding that she be fired. And they were like digging up like old college papers she wrote.
Mm-hmm.
It was, ew. Sarah, I'm amazed you remember this so well.
I regret asking about this.
I remember it because I was like graduating college and I was in localization.
Right.
So like her story really, like I was going to go into games journalism, but then Gamergate happened and that's why I pivoted like immediately and so hard. Because I was like, this is not something I want to step in.
Yeah.
Like it looks bleak. Like women were like dropping left and right. And I was like, it's not worth it.
Yeah.
And then I became a video game streamer. So in a way I stepped on it anyways.
Yeah. Do you feel like you kind of dodged the brunt of that? I know Gamergate still lives and is all over in society and has a weird resurgence over the last couple of years in particular. But do you feel like if you would have jumped into it in that time, it would have been a show?
I do feel like I feel grateful that I was still in college when that happened.
Yeah.
But I also feel bad, like, what would the industry have looked like if that had never occurred and if we hadn't lost so many good people?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I was going to ask, this is kind of related, when Jeffem was talking about how old he was, it's like, how old do you think you are in terms of games journalists? Do you think you're in, like, upper 10th percentile?
It doesn't seem like there's lower. A lot of new ones coming in, though, right? Am I crazy? I mean, like, there's not jobs for young people in here anymore.
And it's like, if I was a young person, the last thing I would want to do is join the video game industry, which is such a bummer. It's all just layoffs.
Yeah,
it is tough.
Yeah. I think there's still a good amount of, like, I mean, like, Charles is, like, younger. Like, my friend Charlie is younger. I'm sure people that aren't named Charlie or Charles are also younger.
I don't think so.
I definitely think inherently, like, I think the youngest person in games media is usually about maybe 21, 23 is, I think, more common for, like, a 23-year-old to be, like, starting to kind of surface into the scene.
That's what I started.
So inherently, like, I'll, like, a little bit less low, but so many people are, like, 40, 50 in games media at this point because y'all are still here, which is great.
Are there so many people? I feel like it's like people hit 35 and they're like, I'm working for PR. This sucks.
Yeah,
totally.
I guess you're right. I mean, I guess that's true.
Games writing feels like a fictional job at this point.
Yeah. I mean, this is the larger SGF conversation. We touched on a little bit in our content, but that was the weirdest part is it just felt like it's a beautiful system. It's a beautiful event. Like I'm 8-bit, I think runs it as well as you can. I really think it's amazing. And then I just look at on the press side, it's like, everyone's squirreling away to write previews of the new Dragon Age. I'm like, this is the weakness. It's no one's reading that. Like, it's just built. It feels like this beautifully crafted little environment where we can all pretend that there's an audience there that can support the press side.
Well, actually, people are reading about Dragon Age. I will push.
Okay. Enough to fund.
I think overall, you are right. Dragon Age is, but weirdly, like behind the scenes, Dragon Age is like blowing up, like people really want to read.
Yeah, those numbers are fine, but it's not to the point that it can sustain an outlet, and I'm not trying to be a dick about it, but it's like, to be honest,
I do think like the reason I say that I feel like most people are still older is I feel like I'm still one of the younger people, like at SGF for instance.
Yeah. I kept asking myself like, when am I gonna be like old enough that people like accept me, but it's like, oh, there's nobody behind me, like I'm just gonna be the youngest forever until it like dies out completely,
right?
No, that's why it's so
also
nice.
Also, unrelated, but Sarah Mike from Kind of Funny, I was asking about you. She's like, where was Sarah this year? Like, oh, I was like, Sarah's so great. Mike. So I just wanted to pass that on to you. And then also, I was talking to somebody else about you, and they said Fields of Mystery is their most anticipated game of the year. So,
yay! Oh,
that's sweet.
But yeah, I feel like the generation below us is doing a lot more like influencer stuff. It's a lot of like, it's not a lot of written word anymore.
But a lot of that
still exists, but not like in our space.
Right. But that's the wild thing is like, it doesn't seem like there's a lot of influencers at SGF. Like I saw a couple around, but it just feels more curated for like that old head press. And it's like, if I don't think they should do this, but if they completely upended it and we're like, we're only inviting the biggest influencers here in the gaming space, I feel like SGF could triple its impact culturally. It just would feel less professional. Is that the trade-off?
I mean, I guess that's why I would like to go at some point, like maybe I'll go next year, but it's like, I can't think of a reason why it would like benefit me. You know, the only reason that I would go is like, I think it's cool, but like streamers are going to get just as much content out of it sitting at home in their office reacting to streams, if not more, because they can't do that if they're actually attending. And so it's just kind of like, I don't know what, like, I get to hang out with a bunch of people is like, that's cool, but like, that's a break. That's not job stuff for me because I'm not writing previews of stuff. And it does feel like traveling is expensive. No one is getting this paid for. And so it's just like, when running that calculation, it's like, is it worth it for an influencer to go? And it seems like probably not for most people.
Do you really want to hug Snowbike Mike?
Here's the thing. I barely know who that is.
What?
he's I know he was like a guest on Trivia Tower once. That's about the extent of my knowledge.
This is why we need to send Jacob to SGF.
Yeah, you gotta hug Snowbike Mike, man.
I feel like I would constantly be getting embarrassed by not knowing who prominent people
that's
are.
That's everybody.
That's true.
Yeah.
It will happen.
Yeah, you at least listen to more podcasts and stuff than I think most people in the game space.
I don't think that's true. Oh. I've listened to the Game Informer podcast and then Minmax and then Waypoint a little in the middle there. And that's about it.
Oh, no. Yeah, I guess the blank check tech guys aren't going to be there, so it might be a little bit different. But I think you'd be fine. Everyone's worried about it. Like, even, you know, I listen to so many podcasts, and even then it's like, I don't really know that name. I'm sorry. Or even then I feel really bad.
You know everybody. Like, and you don't even know
insecure.
People that, like, you're like, don't you know that's the person that designed the level of that game?
Developers.
Like,
developers.
No, I've never looked at his picture. Why would I know who that is?
Well, developers I do pretty good. But, like, when it comes to, like, you know, other people in the press, I still feel really insecure of, like, I think I asked Jake from GameSpot. I was like, oh, you're still at GameSpot then? He's like, yeah. He, like, he gave me one of those. And he's a very sweet guy, you know. But it's just, like, those little instances of, like, oh, I wish I was still
He gave
reading.
You some attitude? Yeah. I'll talk to him. Don't worry about it.
No, like, not at all. But it's just that feeling of, like, oh, I should have known that. I should have known where this person, like, what outlet they were at still.
Like, did
like,
you scoff at Ben? It's like, sorry, I'm not reading your Twitter bio every day, all right? I have a family. Jeez.
Yeah. I guess that
they
helps.
Do have lanyards, usually.
That is true.
Yeah, the lanyards carry. It's like, yeah. Who is that? Let me just... What's your pocket look like?
Gotta wear sunglasses.
Yeah. Yeah. We talked about it on the podcast, but I do think that's my only note for the event space is like make the names and outlets on those lanyards 5 times as big because I'm 37 years old and I don't want to squint to be like, is Jake
Flava Flav style?
Yeah. Yeah. It could be.
The worst part is when somebody walks by and they look at your lanyard to see who you are and then they just keep walking and you're like, sorry that I wasn't important enough
to you. That's so weird
for you to stop for. Yeah. It's like, oh my God. So they always like glance down and then they just keep walking and I'm like, okay.
That's tough. Yeah. I was listening to an interview with, like Second Wind has a podcast called Dev Heads and Tina Sanchez is on it, who used to live back at 1UP and stuff. And she went on, she's a producer at Call of Duty and Respawn and all this stuff. And she was talking about like that kind of snubbing in the developer space where she said she was talking to a developer. Oh, what was it? It was a cool indie game. God, I forget what it was. And she said she was just talking to him casually, like at a hotel or at an event. And then she mentioned she worked on Call of Duty and she said they went, okay. And then they like walked away. And it's like, is that really possible for someone to be that much of a dick? Like, or is it just the way that it feels in that situation? Is everyone snubbing you and being rude? Or I don't know. Not calling her a liar. Is just one of those like, God, is it really? Would people react that way to a Call of Duty
developer? I think it would be hard to misinterpret someone saying okay and then walking away.
Yeah, I guess you're
right. I'll take her word for it.
Speaking of taking their word for it, we should close out this episode of Hootenanny, brought to you by Jawar Hello, jumping up to the highest tier. Thank you, Jawar Hello.
Thank you, Jawar Hello, giving so much to us and to charity on our
show.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to see, Jawar Hello, can you share your collection of stuff that you've won from the charity auctions throughout the years? Because it's been so much stuff. I believe it was like the Steve Jobs poster.
Yeah,
last year.
Won that.
Yeah, yeah, that everybody signed, which is just absurd. But he's a Chicago boy, Janet.
I'm sorry, oh, what nice. Is the Steve Jobs poster?
That's
exactly what it sounds like. It is a big poster of Steve
during
Jobs.
That the MinMax cohort signed?
Yeah,
yeah. No, Steve Jobs signed it over and over and over. Remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Ben didn't give the directions very clearly. We were supposed to sign our names, right?
You're supposed to make a made-up Steve Jobs quote and then sign it from Steve Jobs, but then also sign your name. But certain people refuse to sign their name.
The directions seem quite lengthy. Well,
yeah, what's...
yeah,
what's I thought it was quite clear. Anyways, thank you, Jawar Hello, for donating that. And I hope it's hanging up proudly. But we should close out. The only way we know how to close out, which is hearing one joke from Cliffy B's stand-up comedy show. Oh, the closer.
Oh, God.
Now, if it's an 11-minute, 23-second video, when does the closer start?
Tight 11 minute and 23 seconds.
Like 2 minutes back?
10 minutes.
I'm scared for what this is.
Okay, here we go.
Probably gonna be
I don't remember what the closer was.
Please don't lean chair. Like, that's really expensive too. Yeah. I look at the tattoos, like, did that mean something? Did that mean something to your grandma? You're getting in the ass. By the way, stop with the gaping stuff, because I don't want to feel like a proctologist when I'm watching porn.
Ladies and gentlemen,
wow.
Complete silence on that last one.
You must never listen to this.
And this is the creator you defend, Jacob and Haley, you Gears of War fanatics. And you defended his company. No, I really enjoyed reading his book, actually. I thought it was an interesting memoir.
You don't need to shout it out every time. I shout it out a lot.
I read his fine book.
Okay, but once AJ Moser and I thought we saw him at the beer garden in Raleigh, North Carolina, and then he went upstairs and there was karaoke being done. So we might have heard at one point his dulcet tones doing karaoke.
Mad world, one more time. Here we go from the top, everybody. All right, that is it for the Hootenanny. Can't thank you enough, Jawar Hello, and everybody on Patreon for supporting us and making this whole thing possible. If you're in the community, send some love to Jawar Hello. Feel free to ping him in the Discord. I'm sure he'd appreciate that if you have a friendly message for making this content possible. But thanks so much, everybody. We will see you in Asheville, North Carolina, everybody. A reminder that community meetup is happening Saturday, October 5th. We will be sharing the location and the time and all those details very soon. But come swing out. Swing out and swing by. Maybe Cliffy B will be there. North Carolina lad will be in Asheville, North Carolina. You're welcome to travel a little bit if it's not a financial hardship and you want to swing by and meet us.
To travel a lot.
You have to travel a lot. We're going to be at an outdoor brewery is where it's going to be. So there should be plenty of space for everybody, but we hope to see you all out there. Okay, Jeff, you want to close this sucker up in a way that only you can?
How do you show... What was this called?
How do you show buff?
Well, there you go. That was my ending.
All right.